Welcome back to the Hair Boss, Not Hair Loss podcast. I'm Nicola Wood, and in this episode, we'll be covering a little bit more in depth some of the problems that we are faced with in salon from our customers, just diving deep on the real concerns, and we're trying to highlight kind of the really big questions that were asked in salon over and over again when I pick up the phone to somebody who's just been diagnosed and is going to have chemotherapy. These are the questions that those people ask. So, today's topic, how and when will my hair loss happen? So what I mean by that is when patients call the salon, they want specifics. It is again about being in control of their lives. So at a time when your life is very, very much out of control, having control over specifics helps. It's like micromanaging the minor detail of the things that you can control. It just puts the power back in your hands. And so I genuinely feel, as hard as it is to hear, it's very, very important information, because by not following the right guidelines around this time, you can actually end up with some really awful hair situations, where we've had people come in the salon where the hair's fully matted, where we've had to spend hours, you know, removing tats and things like that. And it's really quite distressing. And so to avoid that, we do go into the nitty gritty detail. And so I'm going to do that and share that here with you today, so that if you want to know the exacting details to how the hair loss will happen, this is it. Okay, so if you are told you're going to have hair loss inducing chemotherapy, then we should prepare for that, because if you go through with one or two cycles of that chemotherapy, then the hair loss is going to happen. It is irrefutably going to happen just off the first session, and certainly the second session. By that time, that's the hair loss has happened. Even if you didn't have session 3, 4, 5, and 6, number 1 and 2 are enough for the hair loss to happen. So you need to know that. What day will the hair loss happen is another thing that I'm asked. So if we go that your first cycle of chemotherapy is day 1, then we would expect, on somebody with 6 cycles of chemotherapy, 3 weeks apart, which is quite a regular regime for a lot of people with, say, breast cancer, for instance, on that kind of regime, a 3-weekly regime with 6 cycles, we would expect the norm is around day 17. And as some people go, oh no, it was day 21 for me, it was day 14 for me. Yes, of course it would be, but there is massive variations across millions of people, I'm sure. But from our experience, and that is over 10,000 women, and speaking to many, many, many nurses and chemotherapy wards, then we suggest that day 17 is the average. So from day 1 is your first cycle of chemotherapy, you're going to have at least, you know, we don't have to immediately shave our heads on day 1. You have got a couple of weeks to think about what feels right for you. We always suggest that maybe before you have your first cycle, if you can, make an appointment. If you are going to explore wigs and things like that, make that appointment for, you know, maybe a week after your first cycle, or maybe a few days after. Sort of give yourself a chance to recover from your first cycle of chemotherapy. That is the most important thing, and see how you feel afterwards. Then you've got about 2 weeks of thinking time to decide what's right. For a lot of people, they will cut their hair in that time, and I feel like that is a really empowering thing to do. The women and people who have done that with me have certainly dealt with the hair loss better than the women and people who haven't. So yeah, that can give you back the power that I keep talking about, that sense of control. It's a really personal thing. If you want to know how the hair loss will happen, so what we're talking about is, it's kind of like a really, really diffuse hair loss. You are not going to wake up on day 17 with your full head of hair on the pillow. That's not something that I've ever seen happen. It is just like, you know, if you haven't brushed your hair for a week or two, for instance, and then you brushed it, you would expect to see quite a lot of hair on that brush. Well, once the hair loss starts happening, you will just see that kind of diffuse hair loss, but it just doesn't stop. So every time you put your hands in your hair, you're going to come out with many, many multiple strands. Every time you brush your hair, you're going to have multiple strands, and that will just intensify over those next few days until most of the hair has gone or severely thinned. So what can you do about that? We already discussed making an appointment to get some advice and perhaps having the hair cut. That is one option. Another option, some people just want to, don't want to deal with that yet, and when it happens, it happens, and you know, that's absolutely fine as well. If that is the case, what I want you to know is that by not washing it, by not brushing it, by neglecting it, like, you know, if your normal routine is to brush your hair and you stop brushing it, you can't stop those hairs from coming out, because the moment that you rub your head on the pillow or you do next wash it or you do next brush it, they've already left the follicles. They're already ready to fall out. You can't stop it by not brushing it. And we see lots of people who just think, right, well, if I don't look at it and I don't brush it and I don't wash it, it can't fall out. But in actual fact, it makes the situation a little bit worse, because the hairs that want to fall out are not being released with the brush. So then they get tatted up in the hairs that are still fixed. And so you end up with lots of tat and lots of matting. If you had long hair, then that is really, really distressing. And so even if you are preparing for the hair loss just to come naturally and see how you feel about it, if you have long hair, we need you to tie that up for bed. We need you to plait it as much as you can. Wear it in a bobble, in a low ponytail, in a plait if it's really long or thick, a silk pillowcase, that kind of thing, that'll help. And we need you to brush the hair. So as hard as it is to see, by brushing it, you're releasing the hairs that should come out that day. And so brushing it will stop it matting and stop it tatting up. And if you wanted it to come out naturally, then that's the way to do it. If you were to wear a little sleep cap, which I've talked about on the show before, little bamboo sleep cap, it would just help catch those hairs while you're sleeping, because 100,000 hairs the average person has on the head, they get everywhere. You will find that hair all over the house. And again, that's just really distressing to see it everywhere you look. So if you wore a little sleep cap for bed and brushed those hairs that are due to come out, at least they're coming out in one place and they're not getting everywhere. So that would be another good thing that you could do. Do consider having a cut shorter. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be super short, but maybe just having a few inches off will kind of just get you used to seeing your hair shorter, because when your hair comes back, that's how it's going to look. You know, it's going to look short and then it's going to grow out. So seeing yourself with shorter hair or a little bob or something that's a bit shorter than you are generally can be a good way of handling it when the hair is coming back. Another thing to think of is the washing of the hair. So it's fine to wash it, you know, those first few days after your first cycle. If you were on a weekly cycle or a really aggressive regime, which you would know about if you were, then that time frame would come down shortly. You'd probably see your hair loss happen before day 17. So I just wanted to mention that. So if you are on a very aggressive treatment plan or a weekly cycle or an inpatient receiving chemotherapy, then we want to shorten that time frame down, because you probably don't have as many days before the hair loss. One thing that you might want to consider is if you are planning on having your hair cut again, this is everybody's different, but I've seen quite a few people do this, is to some people making it an event. You know, I had one wonderful young woman who had three really young children, and her biggest thing was, you know, how will our kids cope with it? So she got her family around one night and she just made it into like a fun thing, which sounds like it couldn't be fun, but I saw her video and they just had the most fun time, and the three kids were allowed to cut their mum's hair off. And I think it made her hold it together for our kids, and she wasn't looking in a mirror or anything, and the kids just went wild on her hair, and that worked for her, really worked for her. So then the kids were involved with it, so they saw it and they were part of it, so it wasn't weird to them. They didn't wake up one day and the mum had no hair, you know. So for her that worked. For other people, they donate the hair. So if you've got long hair, you know, you can come into our salon, or many, many salons across the country work with various charities. For instance, the Little Princess Trust, where we could cut your hair shorter and the hair that we take off would be sent away to the charity and made into a wig for a child for free. So that's quite empowering to think that your hair did some good, and that might encourage somebody to have that hair cut and feel better about it, knowing that they've done something. Another one that I would say is most people already have a hairdresser who they're very, very close to and very, very connected to and feel really safe there. And I'm sure if you reached out to your hairdresser and said, I'm going through this, do you think I could have the last appointment of the day? Is it all right if I bring a friend? Would you cut my hair short? That will be the most relaxed appointment that you could have because you've already got that connection with your own stylist. And so I would strongly suggest reaching out, and I don't think there's a hairdresser in the land who wouldn't completely accommodate you for that request in giving you some privacy and a quiet appointment, etc., to do it. Other people get sponsored, and I've seen people get sponsored do it quite a lot. And then some people would get somebody they love to do it. They wouldn't go to the salon. They would just have their sister or their best friend or their partner who would, if they wanted to, shave their head. That's another way to do it. One other thing to mention when we're preparing for that hair loss, in that kind of 17-day period, you must be careful when you're washing your hair. So it's fine to wash your hair. I would probably wash it a bit less, if I'm honest. And towards that day 17, I'd probably stop washing it around, I don't know, day 12, day 14 maybe being the last wash. And when we are washing it, it's very important that everything is in a downward fashion. Just in case there was some hairs that were being released, what we don't want to do is encourage knotting by rubbing in circular motions the way we'd normally wash our hair. We want to wash in a downward fashion so the water just runs down the hair shaft and that we're just using our hands on our hair in a downward fashion, very, very gently. Again, if you're blow drying it, the hair dryer is going down, you're not putting your head upside down. Everything's in a natural fall of the hair direction. And that's just to make sure that we're not encouraging it. If you're going to the salon within that time frame, it's super important that you tell the person who's going to cut your hair or the person who's going to wash your hair that you've actually already had some chemotherapy, because the junior in the salon or the apprentice in the salon may not have experience of washing somebody's hair in that time frame, and it's very important that they wash your hair the same way. Some salons might prefer just to spray the hair down just to be on the safe side, and if you feel better then you should ask for that. But it's really important that you're open, that you're already in treatment, because the way you wash your hair would be different. And I guess that is a lot of the information that you would need about the how and the specifics about how the hair loss is going to happen. So I hope that covers some of your queries around the intimate detail of how the hair loss will happen. And again, I think I touched on it at the beginning that it is a very delicate subject and one that some people are just not ready to hear, and I fully appreciate that. But again, I genuinely believe that by giving you the answers, then you're more informed and it puts the power back in your hands, and I hope that helps. We are going to do another session on other topics, including eyelashes and eyebrows, and what happens when my hair grows back, which is a big topic as well. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you've got any further FAQs or ideas for future episodes that you'd like us to record, please do let us know. We are so open to letting the show be led by the things that you need answering. So please check out the show notes where you can find all of our social handles and share this episode with anybody you think that might find it helpful.